You are listening to the Truth Talk Podcast with Kathy Crabb Hannah. Hello and welcome. I'm Kathy Crabb Hannah, and I'm excited about this new podcast journey, and I am here this morning. It's a cold morning in Tennessee, and I just had some like McDonald's breakfast, and I'm ready to gear up. And I've got my daughter Crystal, the oldest. Some of y'all know her. Some of y'all always say, who is that girl, that blonde? Well, that blonde's sitting at the table. And I've got Amanda, one of my other girls. I got her via Aaron. You know, he brung her home. I know that's bad grammar. He brought her home. And she's stuck. I've got the funniest story, and we're going to move on. But I thought of such a funny story about road life and Aaron when he was a kid. I'm not going to tell it now, but I'm going to tell it later today.
Okay.
But we're going to talk about last week. I feel like it was last week. Crystal posted a long epistle-like Facebook post that was, you know, it's kind of a controversial subject in 2022 to tell a church member that they shouldn't probably be drinking alcohol because the witness of that is so icky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a great friend that I met because I came in on a January morning about like this from the road with Kelly, 4 o'clock in the morning. I see this horrific post after seeing a news story on Channel 5 at 5 in the morning about a man being hit head-on in a Corvette on I-65 at Old Hickory Boulevard here in Nashville. And I was so shook, I couldn't even go to sleep, so I stayed up the rest of the night. I had seen another girl's post that said, I can't believe this. And later, a couple hours later, I thought, I wonder if there's a connection. And I didn't know the girl. Didn't know her.
Yeah.
Just saw it in
just
the feed.
Saw it.
And it was her husband that was hit, and she lost her husband, her two boys, young boys at the time, lost their father. The lady was inebriated, did not even know she was on the wrong side of I-65. She was a, I think a county employee, knew better, worked at the jail.
Wow.
How do you work at the jail and lock people up all day and not know you shouldn't drink and drive?
That's
so
right.
I got kind of fired up. I mean, I've always thought it was terrible to drink and drive. Terrible. But I got fired up 7 or 8 years ago, and I've continued to be fired up about bars being... We are worried about a mask. I'm just going to go there. We are worried, and they are... In New York City, you can't get in a restaurant if you don't have on a mask, and you can't have a... You have to have a vaccination card. But you can leave there and go drive a car after drinking for 9 hours.
Right.
Seems a little off kilter to me.
Very.
But let's talk about it as it relates to our
culture.
Yeah, and the way we feel like that we present what we do to the world. I've got my nails off because I'm resting my hands. And if y'all notice that, they're hideous.
Ah, well, you're in good company.
We're going to rest our hands today. But, Crystal, talk about your post.
So I made a post, and it's something that we've had a lot of conversations about in the last few years, but specifically in the last probably 18 to 24 months with the state of the world and everything going on. I feel like the church as a whole, it's become even more acceptable for people to drink while they're, whether they're pastoring or in leadership or just a congregant, and to see people's boldness in posting it, talking openly about it. And it just, it shocks me. And I made a post about it, and it was just a very random spur of the moment thing. And it definitely seemed to strike a nerve with people on both sides of the fence. And the argument of drunkenness and the argument of, is it okay to drink at all? And is it wise and is it beneficial? I think that we want the out of I'm not getting drunk, but still is it beneficial to do it at all?
Right.
And what determines drunkenness?
Right.
If half a glass of wine causes your mouth to be a little loose, Right. Then is that enough? Like, where is that line at? Not out of, my whole thought was, it's not out of religion or out of legalism. Mm-hmm. It's out of what is the benefit to the body of Christ and to the individual in drinking alcohol. And I can't find any.
The bar culture is the nightlife. We live in Nashville.
And we live in nightlife.
The number one party city. I've heard it's number one over Vegas now.
Nashville's motto is that we are a drinking town with a music problem.
That's right.
So when you really think about that and the culture of what we live in, they are noted for the bars.
It's the number one destination for bridal shower parties for, like, before the wedding day.
Don't
they all
we
come
know
here
it
and get drunk
oh my
and
God
take cute pictures and do all the things.
Well, it's honestly, it's repulsive if you go down there on a Saturday night. I don't.
No.
But it's
I avoid
repulsive
it like the plague.
I am. That's a whole nother session about losing Nashville. We've lost Nashville to big money from liberal states that decide they want to not pay state income tax. They've moved here and bought up our properties, and now everything's so expensive.
And continuing to flip.
And they expect 200,000 people in the next couple of years.
Yep, that's, I just saw that.
I'm
from
distraught.
Chicago, LA, New York, all of the.
They want our tax benefits, and they're going to bring in their liberal politics here, and it makes me upset. Different subject.
Right.
Different day.
But all that to say, I think the church is in this weird, weird dynamic of what sets you apart from the world if morally you're in the same boat as
the world.
If you're
in the same boat.
If your statistics for pornography, alcohol, everything, if it matches the world, are you set apart and are you? Again, not out of a legalistic heart. It's what's the benefit to the body of Christ?
Well, the scripture does say, come out from among them. Mm-hmm. Be separate. Be in the world, but not of the world. I think that's the difference. Mm-hmm. And it's sad when you make a post like that or you take a stance, the backlash from even the Christian community.
No, that's where I was.
You're legalist.
It's
legalistic.
Shocking. Like, you expect it from the world. And here's what's interesting. A lot of the world perspective is like, I respect that. Mm-hmm. I get that.
That's
fine. For me, I think of even the scripture in Romans. I screenshotted it this morning that it literally is that don't be a stumbling block. Okay, so maybe where Paul tells Timothy a little wine is good for the stomach. Mm-hmm. Number one, when you really do the history and the research of scripture,
that's right,
it's not wine in the context of what we know wine to be today.
No,
we all take medicine around this table. Mm-hmm. If I have a headache, chances are I do pray. That's always a go-to, but I also grab an ibuprofen or an Advil.
Right.
Is there healing benefits to the fruit of the vine? The scripture talks a lot about grapes and the fruit of the vine, but it's when you start allowing it to ferment to a certain point that I believe it does. It gets dangerous. It's unhealthy. But where a little wine is good for the stomach versus, okay, I may see you drink a glass of wine and I go, okay, then if it's okay for her, then it must be okay for me because we all put ourselves in that box. And I may have a history of alcoholism in my bloodline.
That's right.
And frankly, Aaron and I kind of fell in that trap many years ago. Was always very, very, very strict. I think the way that we position it and we say it often is the Crabb family, very sheltered in a lot of ways. Thanks to God for that. But they, even when we were married, we had been married for several years, and it was shocking the first time that we visited a minister's home and there was wine in the house. It actually grieved us. Like,
right?
We came home and squalled.
They all called me.
No.
Oh,
like, you assume if you go to church, and especially if you're a pastor, that you're not doing that.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, so it's like, okay, let's just not overreact. It does, you know, the gifts and the call are without repentance, but it's like, am I willing to labor with the world and still think that I'm going to be doused with the anointing? I don't know, but I remember the first time that later on we saw, you know, very blessed, very powerful, having one glass of wine. Mm-hmm. And here's what I can tell you, still to this day, we'll never give names, but one glass of wine. And Aaron was like, maybe we've had it wrong all these years. And I thought, maybe we have. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe we've missed it somewhere.
Been too strict along
maybe
the way.
Maybe we've been too strict. And it began to cause a spiral effect because my husband's father, Gerald, was an alcoholic. Had your ex-husband, by the way.
Yeah.
In case you forgot.
Heard of him.
Heard of him. I think you know him. But long story short, alcoholism is in his bloodline. Mm-hmm. And it began to wreak havoc in our home for several years. And it's something that over a course of a few years ago, I started sharing this and the backlash. However, the same side, the awakening of people going, whoa, wait a minute, maybe I need to examine my life.
That's right.
Because we don't think about those things. We're talking a lot about breaking generational curses, but what are we doing to continue that curse at work in our life? So,
well, I think it's like everything else is, you know, the power of suggestion and the power of acceptance.
That's right.
Years ago, when we literally thought that to suggest that a girl would be born and have an option to be a boy.
Right.
I mean, 25 years ago, we would have, liberal people would have said,
that's ridiculous.
That's mental health issue.
That's mental health.
Other than the handful of people who have a legitimate genetic issue.
Well, and that's
and
not
then it's like
I'm
you had
about.
Sympathy on those people, yes. which has become the norm now to go, what gender do you
but
want to
that's
be?
That's not what I mean, of course. And I do know of that. And I have had a grandmother email me about that before and say, you know, we put everybody in the same box and there is another box. But it,
right.
And,
but that's the unusual.
That's the
very, very small. Very
one,
small.
You know, one tenth of 100th of 1% or something. But I'm talking about just mental illness. But but the suggestion of that society has, oh, abortion's normal because the Supreme Court said it was fine.
That's right.
It's birth control.
And Steve and I just talked, you know, we're on the verge of being in war with Russia. I mean, basically.
Over a border that they that we care
that
about,
we,
but we don't care about our
for
borders.
Sure.
Yeah, so we got it. Yeah, right. So, same thing. So here we said, and I said this morning, and we have a military full of transgendered.
A weak military.
A very weak, and I hesitate to say that.
I said it.
So much, so much, you know, so many great people. But yet, the great people are frustrated at the lack of support.
For sure.
That's right.
Of the the masculine person being the masculine person, and the female being allowed to be a strong woman in her role, And they don't want the line blurred, right? A good military man does not want the line blurred.
No.
I'm telling you.
Of course they don't.
Well, and here's the deal.
But alcohol's the same way. It's what I'm saying.
Right. No, it is. The lines are very blurred. And no, I mean, we are thankful for our armed forces. Let's get that clear. Mm-hmm. We're thankful for our armed forces. But I know those that are in the military currently and in very high ranks that are frustrated with even the training. It literally, our nation's leaders have
That's
made
crazy.
It their mission to weaken
the military.
Our military.
Yes.
Our defense is down.
It is.
Very
so,
down.
So the things of the natural reflect the things of the spirit.
That's
so
right.
The spirit realm in the church culture,
the defense is down.
Right.
So it's the same.
And because the world has bled in and there's no difference.
There's no difference.
And
no difference.
We're telling our, and so then we go on to this, and I know we're going to get back to the subject.
Know.
But when you're telling your 12-year-old boys, if you want to wear makeup and have your hair done and put on tights and a bra.
And be famous
and
on YouTube.
And go on TikTok and YouTube. That you're cool. That's awesome. That is absolutely a choice.
Right.
And we're handing you that choice. That's what The world, that's
the world system.
That's a society. That's so right. How would we not be weak? Mm-hmm. Those right. When or they're either doing that or playing video games.
Meanwhile,
so then you've got no 18-year-olds.
The makers of TikTok, who are the Chinese, mm-hmm. don't allow that in their nation,
but they
love the distraction to our
nation.
It's
a distraction.
And I'm not, I don't mean to jump to all that.
No.
But it's all one.
It's all interwoven.
So the alcohol issue was made acceptable mm-hmm. decades ago by the, mm-hmm. the church has just kind of right. slid
yeah.
into it.
It was closet.
And I have to jump back to what you said about a little wine for the stomach. Mm-hmm. Pure purple grape juice mm-hmm. has benefits in it that if you have a stomach virus, if
it'll
you have bacteria, it will kill it. It changes the pH of your stomach.
Wow.
Which is basically
which is what
they had then.
They had.
That's what it is. There's literally no need even for that compared to what we have today to offer.
That.
Yes. For it to
now,
be permanent.
Now let's go over. Mm-hmm. Let's just kind of move the needle a little bit. I'm a good old Presbyterian girl. My parents were Presbyterians. I'm pretending. My name's Mary Sue.
Okay, Mary Sue.
Okay. And my mom
Mary
and daddy
Sue
were Presbyterians. I'm 50 years old. I was raised Presbyterian.
Okay.
My entire family has had a drink of wine with Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We broke it out twice a year. I'm making this up. It's
right.
not me.
Right.
It's not me. We broke it out at Christmas and an anniversary.
Celebrate, yeah.
A celebrate. It was in Czech. It was in the home. It was...
Not a normal daily part of life.
It was our culture.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pretend that we're Italian Presbyterians.
Mm-hmm.
And our culture came from the old country that we brought out wine when grandma came and made spaghetti
meatballs.
They would
probably
be Catholic.
They probably would be. But
okay.
let's pretend they're Catholic, whichever. That's my culture.
Yes. Yeah.
And then I moved to Nashville and I'll start going to Restoring Hope. And the culture of the mm-hmm. church is no alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to really think through that because I'm like...
It went wrong for me.
We didn't do bad things. We didn't drink and drive.
We
and we didn't even
heritage.
Have beer in our fridge. It was just a heritage thing.
Mm-hmm. Where the scripture says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
That's right.
We're a different culture.
Mm-hmm.
We are the South.
My mother didn't believe in... I mean, for the last several years of her life, she wouldn't wear pants or... even consider wearing shorts or anything like that.
She also went through a season of not shaving her armpits.
Yes, and her legs.
And she would also drink NyQuil to go to sleep, but would not touch any alcohol to save her life.
Well, we're bad sleepers.
Yes. So it's one of those where, again, you have to, what's the intent and what's the heart?
These Southern mentalities... Mm-hmm. We're raised in church, we're raised to not drink. I mean, all of us.
I don't know that that's...
And then my brother's an
alcoholic.
People
are raised to hide it when they drink.
People are raised to hide it.
They're not raised to not drink. They're raised to hide it on Sunday when you go to church.
Well, I'm saying we're not the Presbyterians that bring it out with the pastor in the house.
No.
It's a different culture. We're in a very different Pentecostal. Even most of the Baptist churches all of my life were non-drinking pulpit kinds of sermons when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Now, I can't swear that's the case now.
Mm-hmm. Statistically, Pentecostals have the lowest percentage of people who drink, like 20-something percent versus 40, 50, 60 in most other denominations.
Drink,
like within the last 30 days, they've had something to drink.
I'm a bad sleeper, and I have been a bad sleeper since my brother died with cancer 15 years ago. Been a bad sleeper always, but I... When you're young and healthy, you can go in little sleep. Mm-hmm. My brother died in October. It was 15 years this past year. So I guess that would have been 03.
Mm-hmm.
No,
we
that's not 03, 06. Bad math, Kathy, bad math.
Was it
06? It was 06. And I was with him the last 4 days of his life, and I watched him die. And It was the pinnacle for my sleeping. It was like, okay, I've just ruined my whole entire sleep life for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a sweet friend doctor that said, hey, I'm going to call you in something. And I'd actually taken these pills for about 45 mm-hmm. days when I got a divorce. Mm-hmm. But I gave them up. It was done. I mean, I got off of them. And he said, I'm going to call these in and you take them, but you won't need it but about a week probably, and you'll be better. And that's 15 years ago, and I still take them. So when after my brother died, and I just couldn't get off of them. I just couldn't. And I went to an internist, and he said, you know, if you're not sleeping, you're getting older. That's why I was at an internist. Once you hit 50, you're supposed to go to an internist. Check your body, you know, all your vital organs. Like, I didn't know that. My mother-in-law taught me that, who was a nurse. She's like, if you're 50 years old, you need to be going to an internist and get all the insides checked out, mm-hmm. you know. Wow. So he said, you know, you're going to have to find sleep in your older age because you're not going to live a long life. Mm-hmm. So he said, stay on them till we get you better or till you can get the sleep under control. And then I had to have open heart surgery. Then boom, there that is. And my heart doctor set me down. He said, I'm going to tell you two things. This is heart doctor. Use Nasonex every day. You have sinus problems. And he's a heart doctor. Okay, think about it. It's pretty funny. You have a lot of sinus issues. And if you will use that every day, you will probably never have another mm-hmm. sinus infection. So it keeps it clear.
Right.
The second thing is you have to sleep. If you don't sleep, you're not going to live to be very old. Hmm. And if you were a diabetic, I would go into the insulin right now. You're not diabetic. All your levels are good. But my point, and I was like, I'm so guilty over these, you know, this Ambien. I'm so guilty. I feel so bad. Like, I'm a loser. I can't break a habit. And he said, well, I don't know, you know, I don't know how that is into your psyche that you're guilty. You got to sleep or you're going to die. Those are your choices. Take the medicine and go to bed. Don't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
You can't.
Hide your keys.
So
Hide your ice cream. Hide your grilled cheeses.
That's confession. That's confession that I have built in Southern Pentecostal church guilt.
Yeah.
Right from my raising, because my mom was so against. But took the NyQuil.
No, she did.
But so against the alcohol. You know, I never saw a drop of alcohol in our home my whole life.
Well, no, Ambien is different than alcohol.
It might be worse.
I don't know that it's worse. You know, it does have its humor that comes with it.
It sure does.
So. It does. Well, but here, the thing, my big beef with the whole alcohol issue is what I said was the safety. Mm-hmm. When I see in the homes that are broken and the people come home and beat mm-hmm. their children and the men, you know, I say the looser that people get, the more marriages that are ruined.
For sure. Right. Absolutely.
So,
Well, and I think that is part of it. I mean, that's the thing. I hear people, you know, I just like a glass of wine with dinner or, you know, whatever the example is. And I'm thinking, how many people really have the taste buds that's really what the point is? The point is, for most people, even one glass of wine
to get loose,
changes
relax.
Your brain chemistry. Yeah, it literally causes you to relax, and it causes it causes a physical response, which then causes an emotional response.
Right.
Typically, something's going to be said or done, even one glass, that wouldn't normally happen.
Harry Stone had a sermon years ago that he addressed this, and we lived here in Hendersonville mm-hmm. when we first moved to town when he preached it, but literally, he was like, anytime in scripture you see where alcohol mm-hmm. is in effect, clothes come off. Of course.
Bingo.
You know, somebody dies.
I was going to say, somebody's beheaded.
Somebody's beheaded. Yes. And somebody ends up pregnant that shouldn't be
that's
pregnant.
That's right. Somebody's sleeping together who shouldn't be sleeping together.
He was like, it never has a great outcome.
Job and his daughters. Or not Job.
No,
Lot.
Lot and his daughters. Lot and his daughters. Yes. Yes. So, yes. In that, you know, I looked up some statistics. Mm-hmm. I know Crystal's probably mm-hmm. the queen of this and probably has it. But in 2016, it talks about 3 million deaths. And it literally is labeled a global burden.
That's right.
A burden. And I have, like, had that word on my heart for such a long time. And it's like, okay, if we really grasp a burden, something has to shift and change, or it will crush us, right?
Yeah.
So when you look at that, the global burden of 2016, and this was reported in 2019, 3 million deaths.
Mm-hmm.
So that were attributed by alcohol consumption.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when you break that down, you know, whether, you know, will it send, that's, here's what frustrates me. The question is always, well, will it send me to hell?
Is it beneficial?
If that's the only thing that we're, that's back in the day, that used to be the question. Oh, like, I just want to get to heaven. I just want to make it. But I think that it's more than that. You know, I think where Aaron and I remember back in 2012, I literally have it marked in my scripture when I was praying, like, okay, God, show me in scripture why it's not okay for us to drink. Show me that. Like, I want to know. And the Lord led me to Numbers chapter 6, and it says, if a man or a woman desires to be separate for the glory of God, and it goes through, and it's called the Nazirite vow. Mm-hmm. Granted, he cuts his hair, I wear pants, all the things. It doesn't label that there, but people want to start going, okay, well, if you're going to live by that. But I think it became a personal conviction, and where we can speak on it on a different level, because yes, it affected our household. Yes, it nearly destroyed our marriage in a multitude of layers. Our children, I remember Eva was very young, and you know, bottles, she was like, what is this? And I remember Aaron feeling like, I can't tell her that. And finally we had the discussion, if we can't talk openly with our children about
there
this,
it is.
That's right.
Then it's probably not okay.
If you gotta hide it.
And it all started by us seeing a blessed, I mean anointed person having one glass. And that one glass, us seeing it, turned into wreaking havoc for about 2 years in our
life. It's called the power of suggestion.
For sure.
His power to, and what that could have done and probably should have done, but God. Literally
taking us
and just taking him out.
Yeah.
Taking him out. I mean, all the way out.
And wine and spirits.
That's right. Wine and spirits, literally. Here in Tennessee, wine and spirits. What one generation tolerates, typically the next embraces.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
A whole different thing.
The world that we are in, we have just been simply tolerated everything.
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, you expect that from a world that's kind of, you know, owned by the powers of hell.
Mm-hmm.
They're owned by the powers of hell.
That's
but the church, like, you know, we've got to take it all on as battle.
Yeah.
And war. And learn that our backbones, we're going to have to find it.
Yeah.
That's right.
We're going to have to find it. And yes, we'll get some hate over this. This is going to be a hate.
That's okay.
And we're not going to get it from
my
the world.
My email address
we'll
is Crystal, K-R-Y-S-T-A-L-L-A-W-I-N-G, crystallawing@gmail.com.
Hey.
If anybody wants to hate, you can hate right here.
I've posted about drinking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And going to bars in this town.
That's right.
Before, about how shocking it is that the lifestyle of going to bars and being in ministry is so damning to the unchurched.
That's right.
It is. Like, it's confusing.
Confusion.
I had a person that who is a good little Christian, just, you know, doing all they know to do, innocent, believes that these people that are in ministry leadership or
live a certain way.
Yes, and you know, live like they live in rural America.
Mm-hmm.
Came here for vacation, saw something downtown.
Wow.
Mortified.
Yeah.
Mortified.
Mm-hmm.
I was there downtown with my friends, my yaya friends, these old women from Kentucky that have been my friends for 50 years and they're silly. And one time we were walking, now this is years ago, probably 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. We were on Broadway. Even Nashville's a little tamer then. And they wanted to go into a karaoke bar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was, they wanted to go in and watch people do karaoke. And I said, I can't do that.
Mm.
And they're like, what do you mean you can't do that? What does that mean? And I said, listen, as sure as I go in that place.
Yeah, somebody will see.
I will, and the kids were still singing. So it's that many years ago. Somebody that knows me will see me.
That's right.
And they will judge them.
They will assume. They will make an assumption.
And I'm not going in there. And they kind of thought.
Which is the appearance of evil. Avoid. You don't even want to give the appearance that something's happening.
I think they might have thought. That I was silly.
And
I
mean, self-righteous.
Steve, you know.
Radical.
Steve, all the things. Steve thought it too.
Holiness.
We had just gotten married. And as soon as I said that, and you can ask Steve. As soon as I said that, when it was busy Saturday night, you know, people everywhere. As soon as I said that, somebody walked up. As soon as I said it, it wasn't 3 minutes, walked up to me
on
and
the
say,
street.
Aren't you the Crab family?
Yeah.
I said, yes, I am.
That's right.
And then they're like, oh. Okay, I think I get it. If we had been walking in a place that had saloon over the top of the door,
right,
I would have not gotten the, are you with the Crab family? I would have gotten
a conversation.
Do you know that I saw her going in a bar?
That's right.
And I think it's valid to say this is not
condemning.
Not condemnation at all, but I think that the thing that happens is people get convicted and they don't like that conviction.
So they want to turn it.
So they want to flip it to where you're being condemning.
No.
No, this is just a conversation.
I'm actually being very compassionate because I know the spirits that come with
it. Here's what I can say. Nobody loves a margarita with a shot on the side more than my flesh does. I love it. I enjoy it.
Your flesh.
My
yeah.
flesh. It's my job to crucify my flesh every single day when I get out of bed. It's a choice.
Yeah.
It's a choice.
Well, we don't
make.
Have any markers today.
No, we don't. No, we don't have any. We have a cup of coffee, and thank God that's, you know, I guess okay. But Ephesians 5:18 says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to reckless indiscretion. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. So if you're downtown and you've had something to drink and somebody walks up to you, and they need prayer, or they need healing, or they need deliverance, which the word also says, these signs shall follow those who believe. That's our job as believers. So what do you do in that moment? Do you have the capacity to be filled with the Spirit if there's anything else that's in your mind that's taking control of it?
There's a scripture, and I was listening to it, so I wasn't like reading it, so I can't pinpoint it. I could find it if I looked, but where it talks about how the scripture basically tells us to come boldly before the throne. But when we have guilt in our life, and we all know this, we've all had different layers of guilt in our life. It's hard to hold your head up.
You're not bold.
When you're guilty. There's no boldness. You literally walk with your head hung low.
That's right.
And God wants his children to be able to stand before him confidently. He can remove that guilt.
That's right.
And take it away. But what you're saying, will you have the boldness to be able to rise up and believe God's word?
That's right.
So it's like anything that, for me, be filled with the Spirit, anything that takes that place of the presence. And trust me, I you know, again, I'm sitting here with my coffee. I'll probably have two more cups today.
Right.
Have my vice. But I have.
But it doesn't take control of your mind.
It doesn't take control of my mind. And
and the environment for coffee drinkers is not a bar downtown.
That's right.
Where
right.
you got men hitting on.
And intoxicate can mean slightly, drunkenness and intoxicate doesn't have to mean you're slobbering and tripping.
No.
Slightly out of control.
Out of control.
Well,
that's true.
Yeah.
Slightly out of control.
So we will get hate. And this isn't, like, listen, I have many acquaintances and many friends in ministry who feel differently about this than I do. And that's okay.
That's okay.
But here's what I love about them and us. We're willing to have the conversation. And I'm not just Bible thumping you. I'm sharing as a witness of what I know.
That's right.
What I know from personal experience of welcoming alcohol in a home.
And the destruction.
And the destruction
that
comes with it. It That's literally right. does bring spirits
it does.
With it.
It does. And as a congregant, thinking of sitting under a pastor, I want to know if I call my pastors at 11 p.m. on a Friday night and I have an emergency that arises, that they are in a mental and spiritual capacity to deal with it.
To whom much is given, much is
that's
required.
Right.
And there is a responsibility.
There is a responsibility. There is. And that's my perspective as someone who sits in a house with a pastor over me.
That's a good
I just
one.
Don't think you're ever... going to regret just saying, you know what, I've just never made the choice. If you don't start, you won't have a problem.
Right.
It's kind of like a lot of things.
Well, a lot of times you don't know if you have a problem unless you first open that can of worms.
Right. I say to the grandkids, I've said this to every one of your kids at some point in their life, they probably won't tell you, but don't look at it because you can't unsee it. Don't ever open that thing that you don't know what it is on your phone or on your laptop, because you will never unsee that. And the addiction to pornography comes that fast.
Which is a whole nother
podcast, another day.
But it's a good one.
And it's very closely interwoven in areas with this conversation.
So there are, I mean, let's just say marriages who say, well, I have to have a little bit of alcohol in order to really be intimate. That's a problem. And then comes the layer of, we have to bring pornography in the midst of it too. Have just welcomed
Every spirit.
Again, it's a whole other podcast.
Yeah,
but I mean, Crystal and I are your people to talk about that.
Well, I'm a dicey and spicy. We probably can speak from experience.
We're your girls.
Oh Lord, help me.
Chris. Yep. We're your girls.
We would be the ones to go to the strip clubs to just minister Jesus to them, and the people be like, "Why are you there?
What are you doing back?"
So y'all are saying?
Well, no. I never got that far, praise Jesus. Only by the grace of God.
That's it. So all that to say, it's a very controversial subject in the church, again, which just shocks me.
But you're not going to win people when you're sitting amongst those kinds of environments. I mean, we are who we're with. I preach this a lot. I told Steve this week, you know, you can take anybody you want to take. You pick anybody in the United States of America or anywhere in the world, and the five people they spend the most time with is who they are.
That's right.
Period. Mm-hmm. And they can say, oh, no, there's a layer there, and I don't do what they do. We just friends, but they're them and I'm me. No, if that's the five people that influence you the most, if you're hanging with liars, you're going to become a liar.
Of course you are.
If you're hanging with people that have an alcohol problem, you're going to have one. Yeah. I'm just telling you. Mm-hmm. I don't think there are any exceptions to that
rule. People use the excuse, Jesus sat with sinners. Yeah. Jesus went to sinners and then gave them an opportunity to come follow him.
That's right.
He didn't do what they did.
Often,
in a marriage, one of my old slogans is somebody changes somebody. And the strongest, I mean, I know that's not the friend thing. We're back into
but somebody
changes somebody.
Right.
And the strongest will typically
win out.
And it's really no different with friends.
No.
You get in a circle. And if you're in the wrong circle, and back to the alcohol, you can say, well, these are my old friends. I've had them forever. And that's what I do. And I still love God and still committed to my church. Mm-hmm. But we do a Saturday night party. And that's what we do.
And yet again, we have seen that with our own eyes, how wrong attachments and wrong influences
destroy you back to the wrong thing.
Yeah, destroy homes.
That's right.
And I sent a text to somebody this week that is very called of God and very much in the wrong place.
Mm-hmm.
Has known and tasted and been. And it's made really, really bad choices to go back into the hog pen.
Mm.
Hog pit.
Mm-hmm.
A dog back to its vomit is technically the word.
That's right.
Yeah.
And wallowing around in that stuff. And I texted and said, you have the opportunity to absolutely stand up today and say, I'm not going to do A, B, C, and D anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And if you would put some value into yourself and to what you know and think, this, what I know is what could change this person's life forever. You don't sink into that. You rise above that. Mm-hmm. You have the opportunity for that person to become who they could be.
Yeah.
But instead,
yeah, that's right.
You chose to lower your standard.
Lower your standard. Well, it lowered your defense.
That's right. Uh-huh. Lowered, and it, the word says it is for freedom that Christ set us free. So don't take up the sins and the chains any longer. And how often you see people do it. And it starts with
one thing
and it ends up with many things are attached to it.
And there's, there's so many. There's layers and layers and layers.
Ultimately, as Christians, I think probably the biggest, I don't know, maybe wrong teaching or wrong understanding of becoming a Christian, it's like, let's just say it, the once saved, always saved. Like, I don't ever have to pray that again. I don't ever have to, do that. But the scripture says the cross, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved. That's right. And I made that comment on the road this weekend that being saved, I make the choice every single day to be saved. Probably on the hour, every hour of every second, I make the choice to be saved, to choose the cross, to choose to pick it up and follow Jesus.
To take a step closer to who God has created you to be and called you to be.
So that kind of ruins the whole, well, I'm saved and that settles, I can do whatever I want. Mm-hmm. Or even, I'm saved and I live, this boring. No, every day we make the choice. That's we make the choice to wake up and go, you know what? I'm going to be saved and in my right mind today. And
that's whether it's alcohol or anything, every area of our life, everything. That's right.
I mean, stealing, you name it.
Lying, cheating.
Any of it. Mm-hmm. Make the choice to be saved
today.
Eating
a whole cheesecake, which I could do on some days.
Now, don't you get into my business.
Today is the day of salvation. That's what I think sometimes is that we think ahead. It's like literally, okay, just look at today. Mm-hmm. Make good choices today. Yeah. Make God choices today. You're not always going to get it right, but the good news, ask for forgiveness. Lift that guilt off of you. And don't live in the condemnation because that's not from God. But there are ministers of the gospel who can speak from a place of compassion because we don't want you to fall in the same snares and same traps that we have in our lives.
And again, I think because I have lived condemned and I've lived convicted, don't confuse the conviction of God with condemnation.
Come on.
Allow the conviction of the Holy Spirit to work in you and draw those things out of you.
I have friends that openly drank their whole lives. Mm-hmm. Some to excess, but not very often. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that the ones that did, all of their children drank.
Yeah.
All of them, drank in excess more than they did.
Where one had a glass of wine, the next has a bottle.
Right. And the next has got to be
case, and now there's a keg. So it just grows and grows and grows. Right.
And instead of most of our, at my age group, I'm senior citizen age group. Oh, I'm so proud of that.
You're a tail end baby boomer. Yes, she's a young baby boomer.
And there's so many in my age group that rather than say we got it wrong, we got it wrong.
Yeah.
As church people, if you're in that group, we need to say we got it wrong. Mm-hmm. You know what? We should have drawn the line and said, no, not gonna do it. No. Yeah. A lot of Southerners did. But a lot of them did.
Well, and in a lot of your age group, there were those who secretly did it.
Yeah.
And the effects, the snowball effect that brings those spirits in, there's been so much damage and so much hurt that has caused even a desire, okay, just put me out of my misery for a younger generation. Mm-hmm. That's the thing of maybe that would be the first place to go, we got it wrong. You know, we should have admitted there was a problem.
That's right.
And brought it to the forefront instead of hiding it, because the effects of what alcohol brings in literally destroys homes, marriages, ministries.
That's right.
And, the hypocrisy of a kid knowing what's really going on and then being told from the pulpit what the facade is supposed to say. And then you've got the hypocrisy that the kids are growing. Anyway, there's a lot here.
Lots of layers.
Okay, so you guys have enjoyed this. Send all the hate mail to Crystal because she just gave you her email address.
I'll take it.
I have had a lot of people that I know personally that took offense at my stance on this. I'm just going to be honest.
Absolutely.
A lot of people that said, who are
you? Or they just don't understand it. Yeah. They don't understand.
And that's okay. That's okay.
I want you to know that I'm not condemned.
No.
I'm not condemning you. I just told you about my Ambien.
That's right.
I have guilt over that. Mm-hmm. And I'm honest, but I'm very honest about it.
That's right. And I will also say I'm not offended if we're sitting at dinner if you get something to drink.
No.
Like, I'm not your judge and your jury.
No.
That's not our job.
Nope.
Not at all.
No.
Mm-mm.
So we love you, and thanks for joining us. We'd like to, Crystal would like to hear from you.
I would love to hear from you.
Let's hear from you. I think that's the thing, having adult conversations and breaking it down.
Right.
And, you know.
I would much rather see, if you're listening, and you're sitting here going, you know what? You kind of ruffled me, and I think you're a little bit,
mm-hmm.
y'all a little bit on the judgment seat over there. Let me just say to you, we care about you, mm-hmm. and we really care about your kids.
Absolutely.
And your grandchildren, in my
the future.
Age group, your grandchildren.
That's right.
And I would much rather be in Nashville and see your kids in a Holy Ghost revival at a worship service than see them plastered on the news. Because they were downtown in some sort of a horrible situation.
Right.
There's alcohol
involved.
And they're in the local jail.
That's right.
And it happens every day.
Every day. When you live in an area with this many people, if you watch the local news, I rarely do because it's a little bit unnerving.
It's a lot.
But you do realize this that alcohol and this youth drinking is a big deal.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
I could share stories of my own personal life where I have been very intoxicated and in situations I did not belong in, and horrific things that have happened. From firsthand experience, nothing good comes out of it.
Nothing good.
Well,
nothing literally,
good comes out of it.
Alcohol use disorder in the U.S. of adolescents from ages 12 to 17, 414,000 with the disorder of alcohol. So.
So it's a big deal. It's a hot topic.
It's a very hot topic. But we love you, and we want God's best for you as much as we do for anybody and for your family.
And thank you, Crystal, and thank you, Amanda. And
thank you all for
approaching the tough stuff, because kind of you're probably going to get some little bit.
Pornography up next.
Oh,
yes, we'll be back to talk about that soon. Right, Kathy?
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
All the fun stuff.
All the stuff. So thank you all. Amanda and Aaron pastor a church here in Hendersonville, Tennessee, Restoring Hope Church, 1041 Center Point Road. If you're passing through, they have Wednesday
night. I
would
love to see you.
Sunday morning. Drop in. Tell us
10 a.m. on Sunday.
Tell us you're here because you're on the way to somewhere. And literally, let this be a pit stop in Nashville, not a downtown
please.
Bar.
That's right.
Exactly. Amen. Come be filled with the Spirit.
But listen, if you've been at the bar and you need prayer, come in.
We're not scared of it.
Not at all.
And Crystal lives down the street, and she multitasks and kind of micromanages 1,000 people. And she's grumpy sometimes. She come in this morning and said, get your grump off.
Listen, when I'm ready to
go,
I'm ready to roll.
She's busy.
She gets it on it.
She
All right.
Busy girls.
I gotta go.
All right. Make sure you like, subscribe, share, and leave a rating, and only if it's a good one, so that this podcast makes it to the top of the podcast charts. You all have a good day and be blessed in Jesus' name.